Holy God, come to us now and speak to us words that we need to hear. Speak them, Lord, in ways that we can hear. And then give us the courage we need to follow through. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm convinced that when you aren't sure what God's love is like, find a grandma. Like one of the good ones, you know, that has all the wisdom but shares just enough so that you know there's eons more in her hands. One of the grandmas that helped you to even understand what thoughtfulness or kindness or sacrifice looks like. Who knows the power of time and patience. I have a grandma like that. One that reminds me of God's big, ridiculous love. But y'all, this week she was all banged up. I will spare you the details of her injuries because she is just Southern enough that she would not want me to share her business. but what I will tell you is, after a tumble and some recovery, she's got two black eyes and a big old headache. Now, I don't know about you, but that's also what my faith felt like this week. Like it's been tossed around, it's sustained some serious injuries, and the swelling has not gone down yet. As I've thought about kids going back to school and communities all across the country, I've honestly been really heartbroken that the news of violence and shootings and kids coming home to no parents has hit home across the country. I sat this week with a family who was trying to find a way to not send their kid to school on Monday, having slept on a park bench the night before. I felt my guts wrenched by the news of the sin of white supremacy still trying to have the last word. I do not have to tell you folks this, you know it. Life is beautiful and sometimes invigorating, and on other days it feels like it's trying to kill you. And then I thought about Abraham, living in some tents in the desert, telling all the passersby that God had given him hope for a different kind of future. I imagine their responses to him when he says, "We're having a baby," or "God has promised it won't always be this way." "Yeah, okay, dude, whatever. Y'all been out here in the desert for years and years and years, and you are definitely too old for that. Hope if you want, but you're going to die here sweating like the rest of us." Today's Hebrews reading says the word faith about 100 times. The lectionary actually cuts out verses 4-7, but just know there was a lot more. Faith, 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 by faith, by faith. And the first 10 times I read the scripture this week, I want you to know all I wanted to do was roll my eyes. God, I do not feel much like faith right now. And maybe that's the point. Maybe faith is an act of hope in direct defiance against hopelessness. Maybe faith is enough assurance we need to keep hoping and walking the next step in the desert, or to keep fighting for the world that God desires and God promises. The faith I didn't feel like was the sort of junk that we pastors say when we feel like we're supposed to have a lot of answers, but we don't quite have answers in difficult times. Stuff like, "Well, it's just going to be fine," or "It'll be good, you'll see." That kind of flippant faith might be easy to embroider on things, but it doesn't do much good when you're in times of trouble. The Hebrews passage today tells us a story of a long line of people who, by faith, saw a new world even while they were still in the old one. Abraham, I'm sure, looked crazy to his neighbors, left his life and his land, knowing God was calling him to go. By faith, Abraham and Sarah were, in the words of the scriptures, as good as dead. Did you hear that in what she read? They were as good as dead. But then they were blessed with new life. We hear a bunch of stories, and then we hear this part. This is a direct quote. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had gone out from, they could have just gone back. But as it is, they desire a better place. That is, a heavenly one. Now, that part of the passage seems kind of weird. But if we listen closely, the writer is trying to tell us something. All these people who had faith knew that this is not all that there is, and it doesn't have to be this way. This isn't the end. If you read on in the passage, you'll hear more and more folks in incredibly difficult circumstances having faith and drawing a line between how things are and how they should be, how God intended them to be. I want us to hear today that having faith is not pretending like everything is fine. Faith is like the opposite of fine, okay? Knowing things are not fine and that God has promised differently, that is faith. This is the first thing I want us to notice from our scripture today, that one component of faith is looking around and acknowledging this is not how God intended it. This is not the heavenly homeland that God has imagined for us. In our days when parents have the option to buy bulletproof backpacks, one part of faith is acknowledging this is not how God intended it. This cannot be the end of the story. Faith is looking around and saying, this isn't it. This isn't God's final word because this looks like a mess. The next thing I think this passage shows us is that part of faith is fighting hopelessness. Faith is a fight against hopelessness. It is not a conscious belief that we kind of think about in a nice, peaceful space. Faith is a fight against hopelessness. The passage starts out, now faith is the assurance of what is hoped for, the conviction of that which is not seen. This is a scripture I've heard quoted a lot, and I've probably used it a lot in my life. But I've never quite heard the word hope as such a gut check. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. In case you're hearing this like I have heard it before, it's not like I really hoped I would win the lottery. Or, I really hoped they were going to give me those shoes for free. Or, I really hoped, fill in the blank. This isn't a kind of hope that is like an imaginary idea floating out there in La La Land somewhere. Real, faithful hope is something that has some flesh to it. It seems crazy, but we just can't let it go. In our world today, I believe there is a rise in apathy. And I'll be honest with you, y'all know I love millennials. I am one. So when you're hating on millennials, remember you're hating on us. But I do believe there's a rise in apathy, and especially amongst my generation. Because there's a rise in hopelessness. Hopelessness steals your future, and that fuels how you live in the present. Hopelessness says, I can't do everything, so I will do nothing. Hopelessness says, I'm old as dirt and God hasn't brought me any kids yet, so God, you must have been a liar when you said I'd have descendants that numbered the stars. Hopelessness says, we've messed it up so much, surely this is it. But hope continues to whisper, this is not the end. Hope is the thing that makes strikeouts get up there just one more time. Hope is the thing that keeps people alive in grief and torment and war. Hope is the thing that fuels freedom movements, even when the weapons and the power are on the other side. Don't get me wrong, I think hopelessness is perfectly logical. And that's why hope seems so preposterous and faithful and enticing. Jan Richardson is a United Methodist pastor and artist, an author. She writes a lot of poetry. And she shares this hope about, or this reflection on hope, after her very sudden and very tragic death of her husband. Though hope may sometimes seem like a luxury, frivolous, groundless, insubstantial even, it is precisely the opposite. Hope is elemental. It is made of some of the strongest stuff in the universe. It endures. Hope does not depend on our mood, our disposition, our desire, or place in life. Hope does not wait until we are ready for it, until we have prepared ourselves for its arrival. It doesn't hold itself apart from us until we've worked through all the sorrow and the anger and the fear. It is precisely where hope seeks us out, standing with us in the midst of what most weighs us down. Hope has work for us to do. It asks us to resist going numb when the world within us or beyond us is falling apart. Hope goes with us step by step, offering to us the manna it holds. Some part of faith, if we want to join the ranks of this crazy faithful family of faithful people before us, some part of that faith is fighting hopelessness precisely when it seems totally nuts. It's hoping beyond our present circumstances. It's seeing that hopelessness wants our gaze to be stuck on right here and right now, the enemy at your door, the panic in this moment, that there's no getting out of here. Hopelessness wants us to give up and just numb ourselves the best we know how, because then hopelessness has won. But by faith, we can engage hope. A vision of a new world and a new way. I think the last thing that living by faith calls us to is to live like the future is the present. That's what we hear of all of these faithful people in this scripture. Author Robin Kelly shares, "The map to a new world is in the imagination. It's in what we see in our third eyes, in our souls, rather than in the desolation that surrounds us. When we can see a different future, faith calls us to live like that is the present. Faith is not like a vague, sentimental feeling about the world. It is a steadfast vision, a steadfast action that makes the present more like the future that we dream of. We hear in Revelation 21, God's ultimate vision for the world. This is where we are headed, that God will wipe away every tear from our eye and that death will be no more. Our call is to live and create a world where that is now. What if, just do this thought experiment with me. What if every person who calls themselves a Christian actually believed that love was the strongest force on earth? What if every Christian lived like love was the strongest force on earth? Remember, Jesus from the cross says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." That is some serious faith. Amen. Some serious commitment to a new world, even while Jesus is enduring the hardship of the current one. Faith is saying it doesn't have to be this way and that hopelessness is the enemy. That our call, like Abraham and the faithful that are recounted in Hebrews, is to live like the future is real. To work towards God's beautiful homeland of peace and love and no more grief, even when we sound crazy, like Noah building an ark before it's ever rained. Faith says we are moving on to perfection right now, that we are working for heaven right now, that we are living our faith in action right now. Author Toni Morrison, who wrote a lot of books, but the one that left the biggest impact on me was Beloved. Toni Morrison died this week after complications from pneumonia. I read Beloved for the second time in a writing class in seminary. As I read the book, this was not like a typical literary class. Dave and I had the opportunity to take a lot of our seminary classes inside of the prisons in North Carolina's prison system. So here I am, I'm the only gal in the class. I'm pregnant. Dave and six other divinity students are there, and the rest of the folks in the class are people who are incarcerated, some for their entire lives. As we read Beloved, she uses this image of something called the clearing. It was this place that people who had escaped slavery would come to worship God, to celebrate, to live like they were in an entirely different world. The clearing was a space that was created physically, but also an emotional and a spiritual space that said, it doesn't have to be this way. As I read that book in this class, I recognized this was an experience of my own of a clearing. A bunch of people who would never find themselves in a room together. Y'all, I'll tell you, I was pregnant. I was my whole entire pregnancy with Moses. I spent twice as much time going to prison as I did going to church. And this space, people were so worried I was going to come to Florida and get the Zika virus. That every day they asked me if I was getting enough rest and did they need me to make sure I had enough water. I was cared for in this place. I was in this clearing where everybody's stereotypes were turned upside down, where we were able to be equals, where as we read together, we saw this kind of new world emerge. And so I wrote Moses a letter. I wrote him a letter because I wanted him to know what his life was like before he ever even was born. I wanted him to know that he had been a part of this really absolutely disorienting and beautiful clearing where his pregnant mom and some pastors and a bunch of people doing time read together, learned together, and lived out a different life. I want to read you an excerpt of that letter to Moses. As you crossed through the seven steel doors each Tuesday, what you did every week was witness an act of resistance. There were no guns or shields or marches, but it was a fleeing from the way things are and an imagination of the way things could be. You heard a group of people resist the stripping of their individual identities, resist being named only for the worst thing that they had ever done. JT is not just another gray-haired guy with a life sentence. He's a reader and a quiet source of wisdom and a hipster who managed to turn a state-issued green hat into a fashion statement. You heard a group of people living out lives, pursuing meaning through writing and re-narrating and wrestling through some of the world's great art, like the story Beloved. Given the opportunity to easily fade into a life of distraction for the rest of their days, instead, Rodney and Leroy published a magazine and new verses to freedom songs. Lyle wrote ways the criminal justice system could provide education, especially to those with release dates. In an act of refusal to be segregated from society or forgotten, they have written and dreamed and invested in each other and risked investing in us. Friends, faith is an act of defiance that we engage in, an act that says the God of the universe, the God who is the source of all that is good, right, and holy, that God is still at work. That things do not have to be this way. That hopelessness will not have the last word. And that faith invites us to engage. As we look around in a world that looks extraordinarily broken, I want us to hear today that if we want to join the ranks of those in our scriptures who have by faith seen a new world coming, that we can start today by seeing ways that God is inviting us to hope and to dream. Let us pray. Holy God, we confess to you that faith feels sometimes distant. Sometimes it feels so illogical, it feels crazy. And yet, Lord, you have invited us. You have invited us to hope and to trust, to keep dreaming and to keep moving. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us the courage to act in the present like the future is coming, to be at work in our faith, to be at hope on the days of hopelessness, and to have the assurance of things hoped for. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.